If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler Podcast, Episode 57, The Island of Kauai. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Today on the show, we go to the island of Kauai in the state of Hawaii. I just like the sound of that. But first, the news. Not a lot of news stories today, but the one that I saw that was intriguing is one that came out of USA Today about Disney World. Disney World's adding three different things. One is, starting August 1st, Disney cast members will be empowered to grant wishes, big and small, to guests, including free dining, ticket upgrades, fast passes that allow entry into all the major attractions, shopping sprees, and opportunities to travel the world to be the Grand Marshal at parades and Disney parks globally. Ixnay on the wishing for more wishes. The sad news this week was that Steve Irwin, the host of the show Crocodile Hunter, who was known for his spectacular and risky behavior with animals, died in Australia while snorkeling the Great Barrier Reef for a documentary when he was stung through the heart by a stingray, which is both bizarre, surprising, and tragic. And our thoughts and prayers certainly go out to his family. It also reminds me of the section of Bill Bryson's book In a Sunburned Country, where he talks about all the many things in Australia that can kill you, with the many venomous snakes and spiders and such they have. And I didn't even know that he mentioned stingrays. So, bad news, certainly, and a sad story. On a more happy and personal note, the Amateur Traveler Podcast was mentioned in Get Outdoors magazine in the last week or so. And they had a nice article that starts with podcasting. Well-traveled Chris Christensen gives the lowdown on over 50 destinations. Very nice article, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, as I will for all of the articles, as well as you'll find links in the iTunes enhanced version, which also adds pictures. Disney World is also debuting a new attraction, a comedy club at Magic Kingdom, which will allow the guests to laugh, joke, sing songs, and match wits with the animated characters in Disney's Pixar's Monsters, Inc. And they're also adding Finding Nemo the Musical to the Animal Kingdom, coming in November. If you're planning on being in Southern California at the end of this month, I will be attending the Podcast and Portable Media Expo in Ontario, California, September 29th through 30th. So if you're planning on being at the expo also, let me know. I'd love to meet you. This podcast will end the third of three episodes on Hawaii. There will not be episodes next week on the other islands in the Hawaiian island chain, including and especially Molokai and Oahu, predominantly because I just haven't spent time there. I've been in the Oahu in the Honolulu airport, but that didn't seem like that would make a particularly good podcast. So, first of all, Kauai is in the Hawaiian island chain, and it is the westernmost of the larger islands, and that means it is the oldest of those islands. Hawaii goes from west to east, oldest to newest. So the oldest of the major islands is Kauai, and the newest of them is the Big Island of Hawaii. And so what that means is the topology between those two islands is particularly notable, notably different. So the Big Island, for instance, we talked about, has active volcanoes on it. And Kauai, the crater that was the volcano at the center of the island, has mostly at this point worn down. And that mountain in the center of Kauai is Waialeale. Just really particularly enjoying pronouncing Hawaiian words or mutilating Hawaiian words during these podcasts. And that is Hawaiian for rippling waters. And it's a much shorter mountain than those on the Big Island. It's only about 5,200 feet. And it's the second highest point on the island of Kauai. And it is also one of the rainiest spots on Earth. It averages more than 460 inches of rain over the last 32 years, and the record in 1982 was 683 inches of rain in the year. So it's a very wet spot indeed, and I'll tell you more about that a little later on. Again, like the other islands, there is a dry side and a wet side, a windward side and a leeward side. And again, the north part of the island, or the northeast part of the island, would be the windward side, which would be wet, and the southwest part of the island, or the southern coast of the island, are the leeward side of the island and are drier. And for that reason, a lot of people come into Kauai and never leave the beach area down in the southern part of the island, which is Poipu. And Poipu is one of the two resort portions of the island. And of the two, Princeville and Poipu, it is the one that is the drier. And so for some people, Kauai is going down, flying in to the airport at Lihue, and driving to Poipu, settling into a condo, and never seeing any of the rest of the island. Before I get into what else we find on the island, one thing I should comment on is that Kauai should look familiar to you. Even if you've never been to Kauai, you've probably seen it if you've ever been to the movies. The following movies have all had some part of them filmed on Kauai, usually with Kauai playing the role of some other tropical location. So Jurassic Park 3, The Time Machine, Mighty Joe Young, George of the Jungle, The Lost World, Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park, The Thornbirds, Raiders of the Lost Ark, 7, Fantasy Island, King Kong, the 1976 version. So a lot of filming has been done on Kauai. And the most recent thing that's being filmed there that you probably are aware of is the TV show Lost, where a lot of the location shots are being shot in Kauai. So one way to see the island, which is a rather interesting way for movie buffs, is to take the Kauai movie tours. It's a tour of the island in a 4x4, which will cover the particular spots that have been used for various movies and TV shows throughout the years. So if you're a great big fan of movies and TV and you're going to Kauai, I might suggest you try that tour. Now that we've gotten that out of the way for my son who is studying movie making down in Southern California, let's talk about the island starting at where the road ends. I'm going to go to the northwest corner of the island. It's a round island, but imagine, if you will, that it had corners. And the road doesn't go all the way around the island in Kauai, and it doesn't because there's a very rugged section of the island in the northwest quadrant, which is the Napali coast. And Napali means cliff. And the Nepali coast is a spectacular coast, and there you cannot drive there. The roads just don't go through, and they're never going to go through. So if you want to see the Nepali coast, I will recommend three ways to see it. One is hiking, and you can take a trail from the north part of the island. You would take the trail starting at Ke Beach. That's K-E-E-K-A. The E's are A's in Hawaiian. Or you could take a trail from the west part of the island also. But from Ke Beach, I'll tell you that if you're going to take the hike to the Nepali coast, it's not a hike for beginner hikers. I wouldn't take small kids at least very far. It's a real ankle turner. There are rocks and roots, and it's steep and it's hot. You better bring water. But even if you hike just a little way from the beach, you can start to see the coast, and it's a gorgeous coast. And then you need to hike much further in, and a much more strenuous hike too if you're going to camp on the Nepali coast. And it's a multi-day hike to hike one end to the other. So hiking is one of your options. Your second option, which is a very popular option, which I have not done due to weather, is the Zodiac rides into the Nepali coast. And these are interesting because there are caves in the Nepali coast where you can go in these small inflatable boats, the Zodiacs. And it's spectacular from the pictures I've seen. Friends who've been on it have really loved it. We booked a trip on one of our two trips to Hawaii. We were there once without kids and once with kids, once when our kids were very young and once when our kids were in elementary school. And when our kids were in elementary school, we booked the Zodiac ride, but we went in the winter time. And the weather, especially in the northern part of the island, is rougher in the winter. You'll run into more waves, you'll run into rough surf. And on the day that we happened to book, the surf was rough enough that the Zodiac rides didn't go. And so that's just something to keep in mind. But I'll put links to in the show notes and in the iTunes Enhanced version to Zodiac tours. The third way to see the Nepali coast, which I have seen, I'll talk about a little later, and that's helicopter tours. So starting up at that, the trailhead for the Nepali Coast Trail, Ke Beach, and then we're going to go back around the island. Ke happens to be one of my favorite beaches on the island, and especially a great beach for if you're traveling with a family, especially a family with small kids. It's a very secluded cove. It's way at the end of the road, and it's quite a road that leads through Princeville and Hanalei and Haena, going to Ke Beach. And so only your more adventurous travelers get there. A lot of people just are still lying on the beach at Poipu, so it's not very crowded. It's got a lovely little reef around it that's great for snorkeling. It's not a good body surfing beach or surfing beach because the waters are very protected, and so it's better for swimming for small kids or snorkeling for small kids to adults. It's a good starter snorkeling beach because you don't have to contend with the surf that much. It's a fairly safe beach. And the other thing that our kids liked when they were there is there are wild chickens on the beach. I don't know why, but there are wild chickens in this particular beach. So if you picnic at Ke Beach, and it's a great place to picnic up in the trees or surrounding the beach, you'll may get a chance to share your lunch intentionally or unintentionally with wild chickens. And the wild chickens on Kauai are called moa, for your reference. So coming down from Ke Beach, you'll come down to on a windy road to Hanalei and Haena, and just beautiful little secluded communities. If you're looking for a place to stay that is away from it all in Kauai, you don't want crowds and such, then some of those towns would be something you might consider. Princeville is more of a resort area, so larger resorts. But the one thing to be aware of is the northern part of the island, as I said, is more rainy. And so we went the second time with some good friends, with Jim and Marilyn, and their two kids, Kristen and Paul. And Jim is, let's say, focused. One of my favorite people in the world. But we got out at near a beach in Princeville, And most of us got out of the car and said, oh, it's raining. It's really coming down hard. But he had already set his mind that we were going down to this particular beach, and it was a warm rain, and so he just didn't seem to notice that it was raining, and he just took off for the beach, and we all followed him, wondering what we were doing going down to the beach in the rain. But, you know, you're going in the water, you're getting wet anyway, but it's a warm rain. It's not bad to be out in as long as you have the right gear. We were in swimsuits anyway, but snorkeling in the rain is no good at all because the water just gets really cloudy. So it's just be aware of that as you think about the northern part of the island. I should point out that the beach that we were going down to was a beach right by a resort, but it's Hawaiian state law that all beaches are public beaches. I mentioned that in last week's show, but I'll mention that again. Another great beach on the North Shore is Anini Beach, and Anini Beach is the most sheltered beach in Kauai. It's covered by a big reef, and so again, a great beach for kids or beginning snorkelers, or a swimming beach, great Anini Beach. Also on the North Shore of the island is the town of Kila'uea, and near the town of Kila'uea is a guava plantation, which is kind of fun to see. It's less commercial than the one I mentioned on Maui. It's the Kai Guava Plantation, and it's worth a stop. And if you're not familiar with guava, you can taste some there as well. That's right also near the Kila'uea Lighthouse, which is very picturesque there on the shore. Coming down the east shore of the island is one of my favorite beaches, which is Anahola Beach. Anahola Beach is popular with the locals, and it is a terrific swimming and body surfing beach. And compared to the two body surfing beaches I mentioned on Maui, the Kamioli Sands near Kihei, it's a better body surfing beach than that. You need to be a little more of an expert, but not as much as you need to be, or quite as dangerous as McKenna Beach. So it's a great body surfing beach. One thing I should say about Kauai, and this is a good time to say it, is Kauai is called the Garden Island. And even though I said there was a leeward or a windward side, remember how much rain is falling on the center of the island. So there are rivers going off of the center of the island, carrying a lot of water with them, and so it's just green most everywhere in Kauai, and very lush even in parts that aren't getting a lot of rain because of this water that's coming off the center of the island. And one of these places that we're coming to on the east part of the island here as we go south, then, is Fern Grotto. And Fern Grotto is not something I've been to. It sounds like a particularly touristy experience, but you can also get kayaks in this part of Kauai there in the middle of the East Coast and go up and down the rivers here. And Fern Grotto is an experience where you take a boat up to it, and I don't really know. You'll have to read up on Fern Grotto. It just really sounded like a touristy experience to me, so I haven't been there. So, coming further along the island, we come to Lihue. Lihue is where the place you're going to fly into if you go to Kauai, assuming you're flying in, which most people do. And then we come down finally down to Poipu. And Poipu is the main resort center of Kauai. Easy to get a hotel room or a condo down in Poipu. A very pretty area. If you're looking for real resort kind of stays, I'd say that Poipu is probably the place to stay down in that part of the island. And there are beaches down there as well, although not as many. There are a lot of beaches on Kauai. So again, unlike the Big Island is new. Kauai is old, and therefore there are just beaches everywhere, miles and miles and miles of beaches. Not quite as many at Poipu, but there is. The beach at Poipu is called Brenege Beach, or at least my favorite beach in that area. And again, a good body surfing beach. There is some snorkeling further out there. My wife and Jim, who was aforementioned in this travel journal, saw a sea turtle when they were out there, which was lovely, and they were swimming, trying to keep a appropriate distance from it. Now, they did unfortunately also get caught in a rip current. And if you're not familiar with rip currents, and I mentioned them in the San Diego show when I got caught in a rip current, it's a very strong current that is trying to take you out to sea. And fortunately, Jim's a very strong swimmer, and he told Joan, go swim this way. You swim perpendicular to the current to get out of it. But she had water in her mask, and she didn't hear what he said, and she looked up, and he was he was gone, and of course she's looking into the shore, and so she put on her mask again and started swimming into the shore, and very quickly tired out. And fortunately for us, he swam to safety and then saw that she was still in trouble and swam back out there to her, and then had her grab onto his foot and swam in. But he's a very strong swimmer. He used to play water polo in high school, but he would swim as hard as he could, and basically when a wave would come in, they would make progress, and when there wasn't the wave, as it's sucking them back out, he's just holding them steady. And eventually then he was able to bring them both into shore, but a little worse for the wear. So something to be aware of. Rip currents in general, be aware of where they are at various beaches. The site that I saw said that Brenneke Beach has rip currents in the summertime. We were there in November, so it does have it all year round, or at least it can. So be something to be aware of when you're swimming at any beach, let alone in Hawaii. So then coming along the island, two of the better known things that people like to see in the southern part of the island would be spouting horn. Spouting horn is a natural water spout. Basically, the waves come in and they hit some of the hollows in the rocks and water spouts up. It's pretty. And also near there is the Botanical Gardens, which is also in the southern part of the island and wonderful to see. And then the other really interesting thing I think to see in the island in terms of sightseeing is Waimea Canyon. And Waimea Canyon is on the west part of the island. The west part of the island is not as well visited, especially past Waimea Canyon, Barking Sands Beach, for instance, and Polihale State Park, which is the end of the road in that part of the island. Very sparsely visited, and so if you're looking for drier, a little more windswept, long beaches, go to that part of the island, but most people don't tend to. But before you get there, you get to Waimea and to Waimea Canyon. Waimea Canyon is called the Grand Canyon of Hawaii, and it is, again, an erosion-carved canyon that cuts from north to south along there, and you drive up along the rim, or hike, I suppose, if you're so inclined. And it's just very, very pretty area. And the top of Waimea Canyon, you can drive up along Waimea Canyon, and then you can drive up to the place where you can see the Nepali coast from the Kalalau Valley lookout. And the Kalalau Valley is the start of the Nepali coast. So the place between where you are there and the Ka Beach. And it's a spectacular coastline, as I said. And I'll put some pictures in a photo gallery later in the week, and then I'll put some pictures also in the iTunes enhanced version of the show of this valley. And I mentioned in a previous show a hike that starts from the Kalalau Valley lookout, which is probably the most memorable thing my kids have ever done in Hawaii, and that is what we still call in Christensen lore the easy 1 mile family hike. Because Marilyn was looking in a book and she saw that there was a 1 mile hike starting in a turnout that went into Waimea Canyon that goes to a waterfall. I think it's a half mile hike or a mile hike, and it was relatively flat, and it sounded like a wonderful thing for the elementary school age kids that we had. And I've told this story before, but it's a good story and it bears repeating. So we got the wrong lookout. We got the wrong place to start from, the wrong parking lot. And we started from this Kalalau Valley lookout. And there, when you take the hike, you are hiking along the ridge that is at the top here of the Nepali coast. And so you have a view into the Kalalau. I had thought I'd said it way too many times correctly. Kalalau Valley. And it's, as said, very pretty. It's gorgeous from the parking lot. Well, as you hike along this ridge, it's basically the same view as you go along, just from slightly different angles. So you're not getting a lot more view by hiking a mile or two into here. But the hike started as a hike just on a very flat, broad trail. It was actually rock at the beginning, going slightly downhill, but people kept coming the other way, and they were covered in mud, and they kept saying, you know, there's nothing to see here, you got to turn back, it's not worth it, and we're just too stubborn to listen to them. And so we kept hiking, and pretty soon the trail gets narrower, and then pretty soon it's on boards going over mud, And then before we know it, we're helping each other up, pulling up on vines and boosting each other up this path, and we finally hike to the top of the next peak. And again, as I said, it's a gorgeous view, but it's pretty much the same view from a different angle that we had in the parking lot. But there was a great sense of accomplishment in this easy 1 mile family hike. So that's a very memorable experience from Kauai that my kids will never forget, nor ever, ever let me live down. The other very memorable experience was from our previous trip before the kids were there. And I mentioned in the last show that the very first time we were in Maui and Kauai, it was because I got sent there by my previous employer, a startup company, to make up for working through when I had scheduled a deadline, had scheduled a vacation. So we went, and we had small kids at home who were staying with my folks, and just the two of us went, and we actually didn't enjoy Kauai quite as much the first time as we did the second time, going there with good friends and just exploring more, because frankly, we had a 2 and a 3-year-old, and we were just exhausted. But the one thing that really stood out from that trip, despite the fact that Maui was our favorite island, our favorite moment on that trip was on Kauai, and it was a helicopter tour. The two places in the world where I would suggest you do a helicopter tour, and I'm sure that there are many others, because I haven't done it everywhere, would be Hawaii on the Big Island if there is surface flow of lava. If there isn't, it's interesting, but not quite spectacular. And then Kauai. And the Kauai helicopter tour, now it's probably not quite as dramatic today as it was when we took it, because there unfortunately was a crash of a helicopter in Kauai, and so they put in restrictions. But when we took that flight, we were flying nape of the earth, so basically we're flying through the Waimea Canyon, very close to the ground, through the crenellations of the Nepali coast. And you've got to see the pictures of the Nepali coast when you get back from the gym, where you're listening to this, or out of the car, or looking at the iTunes version. It's this amazing landscape, and that's one of the reasons that Kauai gets used in movies so much. It really looks like something out of the Lost World. It's phantasmagorical, if you will. And flying through those valleys and seeing the Nepali coast from a helicopter is stunning. And there is a scene in the Jurassic Park, the first movie, where they fly down in a helicopter past a waterfall to get to the spot where they're going to see the dinosaurs. And we have hovered down that same spot. It's a waterfall in Kauai. It's a tall waterfall way up that it's only accessible by hiking or by helicopter. And I don't even know how accessible it is by hiking. And to go there to that remote location and see this gorgeous beauty is really something. And the helicopters, the way they do it is you've got headphones on and they're telling you what's going on. And they've also got cheesy music in the narration of this helicopter that climaxes as you top this ridge. And I just thought it would be really hokey, and it was just amazingly dramatic. It really worked for me. And then the other place that was fascinating in the Kauai tour, in terms of places to see by helicopter, is the crater. So way at the top of the mountain, which we said was in the middle of Kauai, Wai'ali'ali, which we said is one of the rainiest places in the world, when you fly in there to what's left of this crater, and most of it is eroded away because this is an older island, when we were there, there's just a cloud covering the top of this mountain, and there's just water everywhere. There are waterfalls surrounding you. That's basically about three-quarters of the crater, I would say, are left, and so you have crater on three sides of you. And on each face of this crater, it's all lush, lush green, and there's water just pouring down because of all the rain that happens on this island. They get more than an inch a day, and it's just saturated wet, and it was raining when we were there, and I think it's raining a lot of times when you go up there. And it was just spectacular. It was otherworldly. So, again, one of my favorite places in the world that I would recommend a helicopter tour, Kauai. There are many other sites on Kauai that I'm not going to get into. There's the Russian Fort, there's the Captain Cook Park, there's a number of other things. The ditch that's supposedly built by the Menehune, which is the Hawaiian equivalent of leprechauns or little people. But I'm not going to get into all of those. I will put a link in the show notes to the best site I've found for Kauai sites. So if you're going to Kauai, you might want to check out that link as well. I will mention one more beach in Kauai, and this is for Dave, our sometimes traveling companion, called Glass Beach, which is on the southern coast. And if you are a collector of beach glass, then this is the beach for you. And if you're not aware of beach glass, basically when people throw bottles in the surf, they get broken up and then they get polished smooth by the beach, the surf, and basically Glass Beach is where you would find this smooth, polished glass. In part, it probably means that a lot of the locals are throwing their beer bottles in there, but basically this is where you would go if you're looking for beach glass on the island. And Dave happens to be a collector of beach glass, so Dave, this one's for you. And that about wraps it up for the Garden Island, so let's move on to internet resources, and I have some for you today. I have three internet resources for you today. The first one is an article from Fodors called When to Use a Travel Agent that goes into when it's appropriate to use a travel agent and when you might be better off just booking your own trip. So I thought that article was very interesting. I'll put links to that in the show notes. The second article would be another one about places to go on the web, and this one is from Travel and Leisure, and it's their 28 top travel websites. You may know some of these, but it might be worth checking out the other ones. Again, links to that in the show notes. 28 best websites. And the last one is an interesting site called Faircast. And what Faircast does, it's a play on the words forecast and airfare, and it basically shows you historically what has been the cost for a particular airfare, and then predicts whether this is a good time to buy that airfare right now. So a very interesting site. Feel free to comment on this show, either by leaving a comment on the blog. I have a way to leave a voice comment now on the site called My Chingo, and please don't go to Urban Dictionary and look up what that means. And then also send me an email, if you would, at host@amateurtraveler.com, or go to the discussion boards at amateurtraveler/board. I'd love to hear from you, and look forward to hearing your comments on this show, what I left out of Kauai, your stories about other places you've been to, or your suggestions for future stories. Thanks very much for listening.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network, where listeners and podcasters come together. Find out more at blueberrywithnoes.com.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.